Hello and welcome. This is Corey Angelot. Welcome to the End of Slavery Summit. I'm here with Derek Bartolicelli. I can't say his name because he's Italian, but he produces some great truth music and some great music over many months or years, right? You've put a lot of work into a lot of music, and now you have another channel where you're going over holistic logistics, where you're going deep into different topics. You have been talking about truth topics for a while, and I like the fact that you bring it toward music because that's something everybody can like. I mean, music is this universal language, and you also have slides for the audience too. So how about you introduce a little bit about yourself?
Yeah,
to get this audience a little more familiar with your music and what you like to put out.
I can't say it's my music. It's more like a collection. I'm the selector, if you will.
And it's even better.
Yeah, weaving tapestries of truth-infused music to, man, I was really intrigued from a long time ago before I really went through the alchemical process of doing the inner work before I even knew of these terms and the spiritual awakenings or kundalini, whatever. You know, but music always was like a solid compass for me, and like what resonated, you know, deep within my heart and soul, if you will. And that kind of steered me away from just like miasmic BS. I don't know if we can swear much in here. I'm going to try to keep it light anyway. But no, it's like they're independent underground hip hop was what I'm about. And it's really more conscious. Growing up in the Bay Area of San Francisco, there's more artists than I can name, and I can't do justice for, you know, I'm not even going to give shout outs or respect or whatever, but that had a huge influence on me. And like carrying that overseas to France, where I had married a French Polynesian woman and a woman, womb man. And I lived in France for the past dozen years. I'm freshly back on the West Coast, residing in Oregon right now, but it's been one hell of a journey. And music has always been there, kind of, it burns a hole in the convictions I have for, you know, making wanting things to be right, and, you know, justice and higher learning and ever expanding awareness, those types of things. Because it's not just what I listen to is like high in the lyrical content, you know, and I really try to get that no filler, all killer, and some of the melodies and this and that. There's no other substance like it, you know what I mean? And I know there's a lot of people in network and researchers in that put that aside because they focus on, you know, word sound power, just, you know, with, you know, doing presentations and podcasts and all that stuff. And down the line, I was always thinking to myself, like, I want to do that myself, but I needed to build my grammar up. And I was like speaking French more than English and just all over the place, man. So music was something for me to kind of have as an outlet of expression, to express things that I only wish I could articulate, right? But, you know, like, it's all part of, you know, learning and evolving and all that good stuff. So
that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I like how you sort of transitioned into using more English. I mean, we've had a lot of other speakers in the summit who many are French, and there's Hebrew, there's all sorts of different languages. And they talk to me like, oh, is my English okay? I'm like, yeah, I mean, you're doing fine, because they have the courage to try and to share their minds. And honestly, you know, different languages appeal to me. You know, there's a reason why there's all these British actors on TV all the time. But music also appeals to people, and greatly it has helped in my journey as well, I would have to say. More than I can probably give it credit for. And when I put music in the background of my videos, my sister or my family will watch and they're like, yeah, you know, it's actually better with the music than it is without it, because it kind of just adds a feeling to it, a bit more of a vibe to it, may you say. So we actually had a musician on the summit who talked about, and he's somebody who actually produces music as well, like he had a lot to share about frequencies and how they influence people. Very powerful information.
It wasn't Joe Murray?
No, it was not. Okay. Yeah, so he's not in the One Great Work Network, but he's fantastic. You guys will all get to meet.
Yeah, I mixed some of his music into some of my mixes most recently. Well, it'll show up on the slide, but going back to frequencies, you know, all those hermetic principles, you know, vibration, everything is being, you know, perverted, diluted, or, you know, they're trying to invert all these, you know, forces against us. And music has been weaponized, just like what else is is good, right? And I've just grown up listening to commercial music, and oh man, it's like anything that I heard with whack lyrics, I need to turn away. Like, I don't want to dance to this. And and then, you know, like Mark Devlin has talked about, like, they do these frequencies for a reason and this and that. And you go into the 440 hertz, why they tweaked that. And the music that I've reproduced and rebroadcast, if you will, I put it into the 432 hertz, you know, more towards, you know, that natural sound.
I see.
And sometimes I wonder if that is the true organic sound resonance, you know, of this earth, you know, because we're going to get into that more later on with the manipulations on the multidimensional levels of everything.
Right. Way multidimensional sovereignty. What does that mean? Could you kind of help us? Like, what do you mean by multidimensional? Because some people may not really understand.
Yeah, so I didn't have any slides for this for a reason. Well, I kind of have one, and that's the whole Trinity, unity, consciousness. The first cosmic law principle, mentalism. It's all about one state of mind, everything derived from, you know, the one mind, one source, whatever, right? And so that's the mental plane, right? Then, you know, if we go move down into our hearts and whatever, that's, you know, like the emotional plane. And then we have the physical plane where, you know, those two combined are manifesting, you know, through us. And this is the main reason why mind control is so popular, because they want to manifest the effed up reality that they want through us. That's the main purpose. They want us to build a prison just for us, and they siphon off as much energy from us as possible. Basically.
So like at every level, you're saying.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, we could go into the mental plane corresponds to the plane of causality, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, results into the, you know, plane of effects, cause and effect. So we could look at it those ways as well. And then another way to look at the brain, obviously looking down on it, you have the both hemispheres, and are we really keeping those in balance, you know? Right. If people are not going to be able to do that, forget anything I say, almost, you know, like after this, because if they don't get this right, it's all about their state of mind, and that they got to keep it open, because, you know, it's like an umbrella. It works best when it is open, all that good stuff. So, we really have to have those things aligned as much as possible. And I'm sure so many other people in this summit have spoken volumes on it, right? So,
yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting, because you have a very deep background, though, and just listening and sharing a lot of different kinds of music, too. So I appreciate that, because, you know, there's some people who want to focus on just rap or just that or other things. And you're kind of open, and you're like making compilations all the time. And I think that's really cool. You know, we have the power of our minds to affect change in this world. But there's people who have agendas, right? Like the France 2030 thing. What is about?
I mean, and that's a worldwide thing, right? And it's all coalescing with the whole World Economic Forum, with Klaus Sanel Schwab guy and Kill Gates and company, all these people, right? The transhumanist agenda and all these things. And we got a peek behind the green mask. Rest in peace to Rosa Quire, who wrote that book. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it really exposes the whole green agenda. And yeah, it was Agenda 21 before. Yeah. And what happened, you know, that set those things into motion since the dawning of the Rona, right?
Yeah.
So, that really put the trajectory towards, you know, the since, 2020, 21 towards, this 2030 now.
Yeah, now they got a new agenda.
I had that picture just because, I saw it 2 years ago because I was on the government website trying to understand what the hell is going on because they, with their draconian ways, of course, the unjabbed can only do certain things and the jabbed can do this, and there weren't enough people at the time, even in America, because things were happening. They happened quicker in France than America, but, the whole my body, my choice, people weren't as much up in arms, but they were actually. I went and documented at least 7 protests and some that, even though, and I didn't mention this in one of my videos, is that it was either Rothschild that says that, it's like, as long as we own the banks and all that, they can protest all they want because we're still in control and they still don't understand how we're giving away our powers and
Yeah, they have a lot of influence. And We Are Change back in the day used to do, I don't know if you remember, they used to do confrontations. They would quite literally meet Rothschilds face to face and ask them some challenging questions and they would not answer. Of course not. All the top politicians, they would not answer those questions. And that type of activism, we don't really see from independent media anymore, but also because it's much harder to do because they've gotten much stricter with what they're doing. They know what they're doing at this point. And that's why they can probably just keep creating new agendas for the people who they presume to rule over. But do they actually rule over them? I mean, this is bizarre to me, And will they use music as a weapon just as much as education? Probably, because it influences people's minds, like you said. Yeah, right.
So how powerful it is. And,
yeah. So you have another slide that says Snooze Button Crusher.
Oh, yeah.
Seven albums.
Yeah, that one is that was really like the first. I was trying to break out of the monkey mind, when you're first waking up, right? You crack that egg open and, climbing up out of that base level consciousness, right? And that primate mind state. And I had a whole series on that. And hey, wakey, wakey, I'm here to crush your flipping snooze button, stop snoozing that, how come it has to still be a slumber party, and like it's 2000 and what is it now? I was saying this years ago, what the hell is going on with the world? And even growing up, I was never a fan of any president that I was born into. I'm like, who are these old crusty people,
Yeah. Yeah. So take us through these other slides as well. We got the next one is Freedom Evocation.
So that's a recent one I did. And, it harkens back on people's will force and their understanding of their purpose in life and what they're supposed to, I wouldn't say supposed to, but what they can do with it, we are eternal beings. And I don't know, when you wake up to on a certain frequency within your own core essence here in the 3D, right? You just see people around. You feel like their lack of energy or like their lack of presence in the moment type of thing. And I'm just like, wow, man, step your life game up. And people haven't taken many steps towards freeing their own minds. And there's so many beautiful distractions out there in so many different ways. And everyone's got their Netflix and all this stuff. Yeah, and at the same time, their heartstrings are getting played like a harp spelled with a double A, right? From the media and all these other things that are inverting that true essence of care based off of their negative knowledge that, they're caring about things that they think is towards freedom and liberty and this and that, but it's not. I mean, what is a liberal, right? What is the word, where is it derived from, right? It's supposed to be from, liber, right?
Yeah, liberty, but it turns into a political ideology.
Yeah, and things are so polarized now, obviously. Yeah, and
Yeah.
You wear the orange man and say hello to the creepy man, you know, like, I don't know, man.
Anyway, yeah, so in I like the image you provide here as well. There's this one that's very spiritual. I think that's probably the best word to describe it, because you look at it and you see the artistry, you see the creativity, and you're like, wow, that is amazing. And then the next image you have after that is a pregnant woman, but a bunch of towers and radiation around her, and she's got the phone right by the baby. It's like, wow, are we really living our best potential? I mean, look at this ancient art, and we see this all over Egypt. We see this all over ancient architecture. And it's like, wow, this is what humans supposedly built before. And then it's like, here we are now destroying ourselves and just consuming away at smart devices.
Yeah, actually, that, you know, mystical spiritual photo, I mean, I put that there because, you know, like, maybe that's what people think of when it, you know, I'm talking about, you know, multi-dimensional whatever and this and that, and like, it ain't got to be that mystical and this and that, you know, and like, we can find that healthy balance, you know. And I actually did a mix called, you know, the balance of reality and spirituality, in a sense, and just having that. I wouldn't say Mark Passio coined the term, but I love it so much, and the first time I heard it was from him. I might have heard it in some rap song, but I forget. But streetwise spirituality, you know, that just nails it, like, boom, you know. But yeah, the image of, you know, born in this toxic, these frequencies were just inundated by all this stuff. It just shows you the lengths that they're taking to suppress our consciousness and energy, because, man, a lot of us don't know it, but we are that powerful, right? So anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, and it says on your next slide, it says toxic logic. You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
Yeah, and that, it's the justification for that, you know, it can be used in different contexts, of course. But yeah, that just, you know, plays off of how people are born into this world, and, you know, whatever the schedule is for the needlecraft. I don't know if you've heard quotes from Rudolf Steiner.
Yes.
But I just want people, especially in the context of this whole presentation, look up Rudolf Steiner, you know, quotes about even big pharma or, you know, vaccines or something like that. You know, he has some very interesting things to say, and it talks about, you know, how it stunts the growth of the soul right from the get-go. You know, it already stunts the growth of the human being that's cut off from source of the placenta. We're supposed to keep that cord connected, and the mother is supposed to have it on his chest chilling for a while until it gets all those, you know, it kind of drains out. And he, that's the first initial step towards, you know, building a healthy immune system, not through this BS needlecraft, you know, transhumanist, you know, allopathic.
Yeah, we gotta be careful, to say the least. You know, like, we think we can just rule over other people and change the chemistry of people. I mean, ultimately, it's like, are we playing God? Are we trying to? Are we attempting to? It's alarming. And so you say there's a wireless wake-up call. If we can only see the explosion of wireless technology around us, and it's like a bunch of rays are everywhere. I mean, that's true, right? We don't see it. Just like any deadly poison that you just can't smell, you can't taste, but it's there. It's something
fluoride
that,
in the water, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. We definitely know that, you know, when we go outside in nature, that there's definitely all sorts of feelings and senses. So just imagine what it is in the city. You know.
Yeah, I lived in Paris for 5 years, and that's like, I don't know, they're trying to move towards this, you know, smart city type of thing, and the whole, yeah, they're going back to the 2030. It's all about the Internet of Things, right? And not just that, but the Internet of People as well. They want us really, like, almost hardwired into this, you know, AI system now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the science of confusion.
Yeah, that was a recent project I put out. And the main thing as far as that is that, all right, so... How many references in regards to, you know, anything involving what we talked about in regards to 2030, even going back to like the Terminator or movies like what's it called? With the train, Snowpiercer. You saw that one, right?
No, I have not. I don't watch movies.
Okay, neither do I, but sometimes, yeah, the allegorical things are ridiculous. It starts off with, you know, chemtrails coming to save, you know, the sun because of global warming and we have to block out the sun. That goes bad. The world turns into a snow globe. And then you have, you know, some kind of Lord of the Flies type of situation in the train or whatever. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, the truth in the movies lies in the media, right? Isn't that the phrase how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, Jupiter Rising, have you seen that one?
I've heard of it, but no, I haven't. I just haven't watched movies in a long time, but I know that there's all sorts of symbolism out there. Thing is, if I watch it, it would probably make me mad at this point. it would probably make me do a whole another video, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, so anyways, the reason I bring all that up is, you know, everyone talks about, and you've seen this umpteen times, of how many memes about The Simpsons, they predicted another one.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, these cats were in the know, Matt Groening, Freemason, whatever. They're also trying to plant seeds within the human collective consciousness to bring about tacit consent about things that will happen in the future, kind of like a la 9/11 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't just call it predictive programming, because they already know. They're not predicting ish. They're projecting more or less what is to come, or, you know, foreshadowing almost, you know. So yeah. I try to introduce the better precise language with things, and, you know, interacting with folks on Facebook and, you know, like-minded people and stuff. Because like we spoke before, man, like, we're so fragmented, you know, across the world. I was over in France, I had no one. To, you know, no one like-mindedness and that. Now I'm in America and I was like, oh shit, you know, I can possibly, you know, meet some people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can set up real life events and stuff like that. People ask me, they said, is this summit, you know, is this a real life event? I'm like, well, maybe one day, but we have to get there. You know, first we have to have some sort of network of people coming together. And then from there, the possibilities are endless. If we can just first do that, I would say that's one of the great action steps that we can take, you know, is just bring people together in the first place, because we see people are so isolated. You have an image here where, you know, this guy is sitting on top of all these material things. I mean, we get consumed, right? And yeah. We may even go on social media, but it just makes us less social. I mean, it's what a world we live in.
Yeah, it's really funny how that works, and noticing over the past 20 years of the advancement of technology, but the lack of true, genuine connection and communication with people fell to the wayside, even though we have the best ways to communicate than ever, in a sense, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we're generalizing about these things, you know.
Yeah, but like even food, right? Like you have an image about food. It's like we have all the food in the world of all different kinds, and yet we're becoming, you know, sick. And there's a lot of consumerism. I mean, you have to question at some point, is it because we're just not aligned to our nature? We don't understand what we're doing to ourselves. So that even if we have all the answers around us and all the tools around us, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily mean or guarantee that we're going to use it or use it properly.
Yeah, exactly. Or yeah, we tend to not use it out of moderation and start to abuse it and start to become way too dependent on it. And you're on the food frequency.
Yeah, hip hop food frequencies.
Yeah, that was a good mix. Some of these things, they're not on YouTube anymore just because of copyrights. And that's why I tried to throw them all on BitChute and Odyssey and all that. But
okay.
Yeah, kind of. It evokes, you know, healthy eating and this and that. And one of the things that made me, I mean, I am vegan. And I'm not one of those, I don't even like the word kind of, and I kind of, what made me seal the deal with, you know, going full on vegan, which was incredibly hard living in France, the land of cheese, climbing that mountain of fromage to, or just like, I don't need anymore kind of thing, was understanding natural law. you know. But at the same time, I know that, you know, like, we're in a fallen time matrix. The main reason why we have to eat food sources is because of the fact that we're connected or disconnected from source to a large degree. We're cut off from at least 10 strands of DNA. And how much percentage of our brain? I mean, those were some of the things, you know, having inklings about and like concerns overall early in life just like burned a hole within me. And that was one of the fires that really lit me to, you know, go on those rabbit hole diving.
You have another image that says we call them celebrities and politicians, and you see there's a, what is that? Is that a goat or something leading all the sheep? Some yes. slaughterhouses use a Judas goat. It's a trained goat that will calmly lead livestock to their slaughter while its own life is spared. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the
order followers,
champions, and people are your everyday person, you know, looks up to all these people and, you know, have compassion for these people because we all did at one point, you know, your mind is so impressionable at such an early age and whatever you're subjected to, right? Whether it be the local hockey player or soccer player or whatever musician, or, you know, and all these things. And if they're really popular, you know, a lot of them get, you know, tapped on the shoulder to join whatever club and this and that, get blackballed, yada, yada. And they have to go along with it with whatever program a lot of times. And a lot of times they kind of just go with it and don't give a crap about, you know, what happens and this and that. But yeah, it's just to, for people to understand that, you know, whatever celebrities and this and that, you don't, they don't personally know you, you know?
Right.
We have to lose some of the adoration and like placing these people on pedestals and mantles and like having so much ego attachment to them as well, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily easy for me, but I don't know. I had like this incredible awakening experience that just, you know, like routed so much gunk out of my whole entire psyche type of thing, you know? But yeah, I don't know about Judas Priest, but the name of that slide was Judas Grief. But yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, and then your next graph here is like, you know, a bunch of people on social media, like, oh, I got likes. Oh, you know, we're social. We're talking to each other online. Oh, let me make sure I put this online. It's as if it's become part of the natural world to just integrate ourselves with these things, and to think it's just normal. And it's like you said, we're also normalizing totally unnatural traits or titles and positions of authority, you know, quote unquote, in society and celebrities. It's like, who are these people? They're still human beings.
yeah. And that's not to negate their talent and right. all that stuff. You know, it's like, here's the thing, you know, the nadas, I like that Adam Infinitum calls them that. I was speaking with him. Instead of, you know, people call them the elites or whatever, you know, but they're only the elite, you know, piece of plastic on the top of a pile of dung and, you know, whatever, right? These people recruit our best and brightest since forever, you know? It's just been like that. That's part of their modus operandi, if you will, and that's what helps them be so successful, right?
Yeah.
That's just kind of like a rule of thumb
sometimes. And while they, you know, pair it for the censorship of people who they don't want successful, like you have in this next video photo, Delitos. Not yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Then we got one from the Matrix or some sort of code with like trails going overseas with, what is that, drones?
Yeah, the drone and chemtrail toxic bath that we're inundated in, more or less. But yeah, there's more to it than just, you know, chemtrails, this whole geoengineering operation. And I did put out, yeah, this mix that I listened to it on my way up. I did a 15-hour road trip just last night. Listening to this, it's pretty cool. It's just kind of give people an idea of what's out there and don't fall for all the nets, traps, and snares, you know, like, hey, who exactly in this reality goes through it unscathed, right? And who is exactly really trying to pull the plug on their false identity within this matrix, you know? And there's a lot of talk of New Age people, like with the whole escapism and this and that. It's like, yeah, sure, it's great to escape the matrix and, you know, see it for what it is. But at the same time, we have to, you know, we should be mastering this shit and dismantling it and pulling out all the people that are on the, you know, that are cogs in the machine, whatever. And
yeah,
Matrix 4 talks about, goes over this in the past two slides in regards to, you know, the Uber freaking social media, all these, you know, the technocrats and transhumanists and social media people spreading the message of whatever and get your Amazon, this and that. It's just, they want people in that mode, you know?
Yeah.
And let's see. We'll go to the next
through
one.
The matrix, not just going with it, not just trying to escape it, but actually trying to master it. You know,
it's like, what did Neo do? He went back in there to, you know what I mean?
yeah, you're right. And these next slides go over all sorts of things that's happening right now. Ooh, touchy subjects. Can't talk about it. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Are we still being censored, man? Sorry.
No, I'm joking. It's not a big deal.
Sure, yeah.
And then, I like these graphics because I used to see them a lot on the internet. And, likewise, you know, before a lot of things just went down, a lot of great artists made a lot of these depictions. The mass media miasma, is that how you say it?
Just going back, David Dees, this is the man that made a lot of illustrations. He was one of the OGs doing this stuff, and he passed away, I believe, in 2020 or 21. So that was just a tribute to him. Countless people, YouTubers, researchers, whatever, have you know, drawn from his, you know, artwork and this and that. So much respect to him. And the mass media miasma. This is like a 2-hour project I put out. Charles Bataille was the one that illustrated this image. I think he's French even, but this just, it says so much about what the hell is going on, you know, the monkey mind, you know, with, you know, in front of the idiot box and all that. And just, it's the monkey see, monkey do mind as well kind of thing, you know? And
I don't know if people have seen that clip, but you have a snippet of it, of all the news stations repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Paid a lot of money for this daily news programming to be the script readers and gatekeepers of a lot of narratives to a lot of information, just to program a lot of your perceptions that ultimately dictates a lot of your program behaviors. Yeah.
That's sad, but true. Yeah. I actually made that little meme myself while making that last project. Some of the music mixes that I do, I actually throw on visuals to them and try to make them coherent towards, you know, all the subject matter and all that stuff. And that was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I encourage people to check out your music channel, Awaken Your Mind, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my moniker. I know I put that on like 2013. I just had D-Rock before, but I was like, man, I just need something better. And then I don't know, everyone is saying Awaken Your Mind or something with awakened in it now. And I'm just like, man, do I change it now or just fuck it?
No, whatever. I like it. I think it's good. You're the OG original.
Thanks, brother. Yeah, actually, I was inspired by that from its actual song title of some of my hometown heroes, Living Legends. They had a song called that, and just like having that, man, it's a really cool song.
I like this next image you have with artificial intelligence. We are summoning the demon, Elon Musk. 1 year later, we must merge with AI in order to survive.
Yeah, I put this meme together. I didn't draw the text, but I, you know, slapped two memes together because I don't know. People think he's some kind of savior, and there's so many different types of savior programmings out, right? Yeah. And he's just another one of them. It's another rich, white, privileged male, right? Yeah. But he bought Twitter and blah blah blah. He's just been have you seen pictures of his mom?
Yeah.
Or who he's married to, and just like the trajectory he's on. He's a transhumanist. So, you know, like, don't trust these people.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, I don't know who they are and stuff. And yeah, it's like, it's like the celebrities we talked about before. It's like, just don't really put them on pedestals. It is definitely contradictory to see that he's like, you know, it's going to end humankind, but then he's like, well, it's inevitable. And therefore I guess I should work on it. It's like, okay, maybe. But then he's like, we need consciousness. And it's like, okay, how are you going to achieve that consciousness unless you educate humankind about what the machines are doing? You got to be very transparent. You got to like tell them how it's changing their minds. I mean, if you're going to put Neuralink in people's brains that tells them what to think, I mean, we have to be pretty darn careful, because if we live in a current state of slavery, it's probably not a good idea to give the same slave masters a brain chip that can literally control the actions of the slaves. I mean, it doesn't that sound an awful little bit dangerous?
It sounds like a horror movie, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so, you know, and these are, again, this is just like for anybody out there who are like, oh, I don't know. It's like, this is something you have to look into. This is stuff that you have to be at least aware of. These are possibilities. There's a reason why these movies are created, why people have all these brilliant ideas of the Matrix movies, and because they know certain things, or maybe they're in the system and they know certain people's agendas and they're bringing it to light. There's a lot of people who have, right? Who've exposed things, who brought things to light, whistleblowers, and yeah, totally. They don't always get the credit.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because, we can say like, yeah, there's going back to the predictive programming, this and that, you're trying to, you know, plant images in our minds and this and that. Yeah, that's true. But there's also, we have light and dark magicians working behind whatever, you know, Hollywood, whatever media, you know, and there's a lot more dark than light, but you know.
So I don't know if we'll be able to go through all these slides, but I would encourage people to check them out. We can have it as a downloadable resource for everybody who's watching, and they can go through them. But if you want, we can keep going. I like this one on fresh water, where it's talking about how do you know that the earth will basically never run out of fresh water. That's very interesting. You know,
yeah, you don't have to read it.
We must worry so much about, you know, this and that. But problem, react, solution, Hegelian dialectic, I don't know. Gotta be
all
careful.
Day, every day. Yep. And that's just, I think it's Bob Tuscan. He did a Free of Mind conference on, I think it's called Scarcity-Based Mind Control. You know, and just, you know, water's one and all this stuff. And yeah, the whole droughts going on, the fires that I, you know, drove through yesterday in Northern California, Shasta and Humboldt County area. Yeah, it's not normal. And hearing people for the past couple months, like, oh, it's another fire season. You know, like, we weren't saying that a decade ago. It's not a fire season. It's, you know, programmed, you know, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to jump into now, like, I kind of want to ask a little bit about your personal experience and a bit about action to kind of conclude, because I really like these images. I'll have them for everybody, and I'll make sure to show them more as we go on, in case you mention anything else, or if you want to mention anything else, I'll be sure to. 88 slides, quite a bit. I appreciate you for putting all the work into that, though.
Mentioning how much time was allotted for this, but
well, we still have time. We can always go into it, but I want to get into your personal experience, because I think it's really important that I ask this. You know what I mean? And it's something that I like to ask everybody. How long were you a statist, and how did you get out of that sort of mentality of, you know, believing in authority, believing in that government? Because I think it's important that, you know, we not just talk about everybody and what they're doing and how they're being influenced, but we also learn from ourselves, because ourselves are our best source of information to deliver to people and say, this is what happened to me, you know, and this is what can happen to you. Or this is what, you know, if I can understand, then why can't you understand if it's so common, if it's something that we need to understand? So how did you get out of that? How long were you a statist?
A good while, even though, going back to the music stuff, like, you know, anti-political for the most part, right? And, but, you know, getting that family pressure, and they're democratic, you know, and, last time I voted was in 2009 for, Barry, Barack Obama, whatever. But, and then, you know, that was during the crisis, housing crisis, whatever, recession. And then he bailed out the banks and this and that. And I wanted to projectile vomit, this and that. You know, I really just, I renounced, you know, all that stuff. I was like, man, a Democrat's doing this, and like I was raised to be like anti-Republican, more or less, you know, even though I didn't understand. It's like people were programmed through, you know, their upbringing or what they see subjected to on TV, as mentioned before. And then, you know, that happened pretty much as I was moving to France. And that I really just left that behind and just kind of, yeah, to focus on things over there and seeing how politics play out over there a little bit. And, you know, it really didn't click until I really listened to Mark Passio's Natural Law Seminar. Probably. Yeah. And then listening to things like Larkin Rose, you know.
For a lot of people, that was sort of their breaking point, because, you know, he was somebody who came to light and said, hey, you know, I was part of a lot of these dark organizations myself. Again, like personal experience. That's why I asked the question, because it's so important we kind of get to that. And I think everybody can resonate with some level of personal experience because it's important. You know, it's like you are part of the picture. It's not just like, you know, everybody else and, oh, it's everything's already been done. The music has already been made. I don't need to produce anything. No, like you're still an individual who has a creative heart, a creative mind. You absolutely have the potential to achieve anything, right? And this goes back to that principle of mentalism, is to the ability to create, but you have to first imagine, right? To create, imagination. It's like, oh, I have this idea of this sound in my mind. I could turn this into a song. You know, oh, I have this idea of lyrics that can be turned into a song. And that's powerful because you never know what it can do. Who it could wake up. I said to you, you know, there was a video I randomly came across one day and all of a sudden it got me questioning things. And it's like, was there songs you said there was an album, you know, a compilation that you brought together of music that helped you originally wake up? I mean, you never know, right? Did you expect it to be music that would do that to you?
No, not at all. But yeah, and then you go back and realize, like, you know, like, there's a lot of talented DJs out there, but who is really, you know, putting something like together for, you know, like, and you see on YouTube now, there's like music to study to or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I want music to study, more or less, you know, like things that are just going to provoke, you know, so much higher thought, and things that, you know, you came across and never heard about it before, or spoken in to such a cool way or whatever, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't like old school hip hop originally pretty like underground, like against authority, and then it kind of moved away from that as time moved on, it seems.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, part of the infiltration and, you know, snapping up the talent to use against people, right?
Yeah. You know? So would you say there's any particular actions you would like to see in independent media or in, you know, the mass society that you don't see being done? Because, you know, independent media has been producing content for well over 20 years by now, and we still haven't really moved in the direction that we want to move in. It seems to be getting worse. And so is there anything that you see needs to be done that just isn't being done on part of the creators or the people who are producing the content or the audiences?
I think there could be just more overall engagement, like on the ground level, even though it might be more timely, it costs more money. Like even in on public television in France, they did decent, investigative journalism. And they're like confronted, you know, the corporations that were, you know, polluting too much or, you know, extorting whatever thing at the time, whatever they were going on. And the woman was good. And a lot of these people, it was kind of like we were talking about before. It's like, no one wants to be held accountable. They think they're above the law and this and that. We ask questions and they're like, oh, no comment. And they think they, you know, whoa, they dodged a bullet there kind of thing. And there's that. There's also what I would love to see, the alternative media or whatever freedom movement, is to infiltrate some of these echo chambers that are straight talking trash about us, number one. And number two, at the same time, like, there's echo chambers for almost anything, right? You know, like, we have our own, they got their side, and it's not to say it's not a dialectic. It's not, you know, one side versus another. I'm just, you know, for times say generalizing, but even just having more debates, you know, interviewing people, kind of like you posing the question, like, you know, what do you like about being a status or something like that? Even though you asked me, like, you know, what did it take for me to not become one or whatever, how long, you know?
Yeah.
But I just love your approach and this and that, and how you kind of were stumped by Mr. High Impact Flicks, you know, just asking simple questions that are just really hard to answer. And it makes one actually confront their shadow self, kind of.
Yeah. I'll put the 7 questions on the screen for people, because they're the ones that helped me. They were really simple, too. Cool. They're basically simple versions of Larkin Rose's 5 questions. And the final question, the 7th question, is like a little bit more challenging because it compiles all the rest. And then questions like, well, okay, if you don't have the right to steal, can you delegate that and give it to a group or, you know, select few people? So it's like, oh, well, can you give away rights that don't exist? You know, and it's questioning morality, you know, rights through the context of morality, which is what actual rights are. So, you know, it is powerful information because people don't know how to define these concepts. And when you share your personal experience, I do think it's powerful. It's like me asking, well, you know, why are you vegan or whatever? Like, to me, there was no compilation on YouTube going over, you know, ex-statists or people who have experience with that. And I figured that would be something I would start, is asking people their experience with that. Because to me, you know, some people will say it's an illness. Some people will say it's, you know, all sorts of things, because it's some part of themselves they never were attached to. It was something they were born into from birth, and they did not consent to the system that they're under. You know, they did not want these power hungry people controlling their lives and taking their money. And so for them to support that, it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome. It's like loving your master and being trained to. It's like, yeah, I was mentally ill. I was not supposed to do that. It's like, I was not supposed to be contributing to violence, but they, how could they have known at a super young age, you know, when they're taught obedience from the very first day? You have this photo, which is actually the next one we're on. Those who know the least obey the beast.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
And people kind of question, because ever since I really, you know, got onto like the esoteric side of information, if you will, and alternatives, whatever. Like, once you see things, you cannot unsee them. And it just intrigued me so much. And that's what I spend my free time doing. Either, you know, getting content out and, you know, putting stuff together, and still, you know, keeping up on, you know, refining my knowledge on anything that I find, you know, helpful for my own awareness and, you know, help path towards better sovereignty, I guess. Yeah.
And I think
on a multidimensional level, of course, right? I'm an aspiring breatharian, I got to tell you.
Hey, I mean, I think we all aspire to a life where it's like we don't have to consume anything. I mean, hey, you know, just live our lives, have fun, maybe, you know.
It's almost a double meaning. Process.
But, you know, there might be some expenses along the way of getting to freedom, and we have to make this a process. You know, we ended chattel slavery in the 1800s, and, you know, we created this thing called natural law, natural rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We didn't create it, but we just put it on paper to recognize it. Mm-hmm. And we're just moving along histories, hopefully evolving and not devolving into recognizing who we are or who we're meant to be, you know.
Right.
It's a common thread among a lot of the speakers that I talk to, you know, is finding that purpose, the value, the meaning in life. And sometimes we'll talk about how science and modern day philosophy sort of takes that out of the picture. Oh, you can't prove value or meaning or purpose, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, that was the original foundations to all philosophy, to all science. Amazing.
Yeah, I think it goes back to just keeping that curious mind and that humble attitude that you don't necessarily know it all, even if you think you do, kind of thing. Like.
Right. Yeah. A lot of philosophy people I meet, they're set in their ways. They think they know already what is to know. and what it means to know. And it's like, well, you didn't develop that yourself. You know, are you really a philosopher? Philosophy just means a love of knowledge. I mean, if you love knowledge, then love knowledge, not love this particular ideology or this one way of thinking.
Exactly.
That's why I don't have to have a title for myself. Can I title myself? I'm just a human being. Big brother is watching you and he's bored.
with the majority of people, because they're not really doing much, you know. They're exactly where they're supposed to be, where they want them, you know.
Right.
In front of whatever screen, connected, whatever way, distracted, and so many others.
This goes alongside the idea of imagination, right? Like, if you are constantly being doused with images and the imagination of other people is being pushed upon you, but you're not expressing your own imagination, your own creativity, and you're just consuming all the time, then you're sort of living in the matrix and the system that they're providing for you. Whereas you have this image here, vision of anarchy, and there's these people who have that imagination and that vision for a better world outside of that matrix sort of control system, right?
Yeah. And that's the cover art for one of the projects I put out that just talks about that. It's more along the lines of self-empowerment and like alternative community living, you know,
right?
Independent living. And, you know, you really inspired me a lot over the past 2 years, especially just how you tied the Lord of the Rings together, man. It's like my vision of anarchy is the Shire, you know. That's what it is, you know. People just getting along, doing their thing, minding their business, but still volunteering and or like, yeah, we all have our conflicts, you know. Egos get in the way, whatever. That's gonna happen. That's how humans are.
Thank you, man. That warms my heart. I appreciate that. I love that presentation I did. It's not me, you know. It was Tolkien's universe, and it's incredible. It wasn't even his too. He said it too. It's like, I took this as well from the ancient accounts of history, and you know, there were these smaller humans who were still humans, and they did not live like the other people, you know, like it's incredible. But the analogy is very powerful. And a lot of people are unaware of that presentation I did. So I appreciate you for bringing that up. It's one I really like.
And that's a children's book, right? Children can understand these concepts. I mean, this man is a magician.
Yes.
Tolkien. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. Next slide. It explains what anarchy is. It's just without rulers, like archons, you know. But we got to have rules, like the golden rule, if you will. That's a start, you know. A lot of these religions play on right codes of morality and consciousness, but you know, it ain't all the bee's knees, and no one's got it 100%. There's, you know, fragments missing, whatever,
of course,
which is why we love, you know, just universal law, natural law so much, right? Because it kind of, it's got the whole shebang.
Yeah, it's a whole package. It's like you say this one word and it has everything within it that you can study and understand from there, rather than having to describe every single little thing separately. I think that can definitely help. I think as a delivery medium, it can definitely help. It's sort of like, you know, I brought in abolitionism as another way people can look at it. But I think this one is very powerful too, because it's teaching you even more. I mean, you're getting even closer. That's what the abolitionists used in the 1800s. They said, hey, you know, we have a conscience, we have something called higher laws, as Frederick Douglass would say, or the laws of nature or natural law. And they all use these terms to say, like, hey, we're beings that aren't supposed to fall to the instinctual level where we just do what we feel. You know, I like how you break down anarchy here, because it's very important. A lot of people look at that word and they get scared, right? They think,
well, that's Mark Passio's slide. Everyone knows that. But yeah, thank you very much. You're the man.
But it is true. It is true. You know, this anarchon just means no rulers, doesn't mean no rules. And natural law could be considered the rules. And when people ask how things get done, I mean, hey, no one gets to decide how everything gets done. That's the beauty of it. Solutions galore.
But that's an issue, because a lot of people are scared as hell to, you know, take responsibility for all their actions or this, right?
What if they want to be free? That's the trade, right?
Yeah. I'll have my safe slavery, please.
Yeah. And they'll stay in denial that it is slavery. They'll think that they are free. free to live in their slavery. But that's not freedom. And ultimately, it leads to chaos. It leads to death. And you don't want that to happen. When you realize how important freedom is, you realize how important it is. Like, some of us have had life experiences, right? I don't know if you have had any like crazy experiences, but, you know, even myself, and I'm not, you know, I haven't even done a whole lot. There were experiences, and it's like, wow, this is how important freedom is. And it's like, you got to be really careful. It's like having anything really crucial and essential to this life. It's like losing it is like is the worst thing that can happen to you, and you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, and they can really become a catalyst to, you know, really get that fire burning within one's will force to really do something about their situation. And yeah, I've been to jail like 3-4 times, man. And that's the main, and this happened 15 years ago, all petty crime stuff, all moral relativistic, you know, crap, like selling marijuana, possession of marijuana, ooh la la, wow, watch out for this guy.
Victimless crime.
Well, yeah, right now people are peddling, you know, tons of bricks of weed. You know, I had like not even an ounce on me. But no, like, let's forget about the, you know, the CIA crack pipe demolition of, you know, whatever black communities and, you know, low income communities, and now with the methamphetamines and all that stuff. And I've also had issues with health, realizing, you know, the loss of freedom of movement or just feeling whole. You know, I've been under the knife, had 2 operations on my knee. And that actually gave me a lot of ample time to continue researching all this stuff day in, day out, like a full-time job, but actually not getting paid for that and working well over overtime. Sometimes just not even sleeping because it was that interesting. And it, you know, kept me focused and engaged for so long. And I think a lot of people in the truth-seeking, whatever techniques, they don't take it as seriously sometimes, or they don't commit enough time and energy and focus towards these things. You know, they might go over some good material, but maybe not enough. And then they turn around and, you know, they act like they got it all figured out when there's so much more to, you know, uncover and build one's own grammar to, you know, rebroadcast it in their own way to help, you know, others. It's a group effort, right?
But yeah. I think what helps out a lot with that is transparency or just communication with your audience if you're a content creator. Because people like High Impact Flicks, like whenever there was an issue and someone was like, well, you're not criticizing this, you're not talking about this, he'll address it and he'll be like, am I not? You know, what is it that I'm missing? Oh, do you want to come on the program? Oh, do you want to share more of your thoughts? Like, he's very open in the dialogue and he's always talking to people and finding out, even though, you know, it's hard to keep up with a lot of people and you don't want to be on social media a lot. So you can't blame them. You know, at least they're making an impact. At least they're doing something when there's a lot of people who are not doing anything. But that being said, we should always be trying to improve. I totally agree with what you have to say.
Thank you, man. And not everyone has to make videos, you know. Articles can be written. We could actually print, you know, whatever memes even and slap them on doors and mailboxes. We can do so much in so many ways.
Right.
You know, and or if one doesn't feel comfortable to do anything, they can still support content creators that are dependent on, you know, donations and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
There's so many ways people can help with the movement, you know.
That's true.
Imagination, but yeah. Anyway.
It's true, yeah. There's so much possibility. Like, I never thought I'd be writing books or making presentations or whatever, but it came naturally just through the journey of exploration and adventure. And that is ultimately music as well. You know, as you discover new music and you're like, this sounds great. This really hits home with me. And that's part of the reason why I think you and I have had our experiences is because we experienced new music. It helped us experience new thoughts. I don't know if you would agree with that, but
No doubt. Yeah. Sorry. You gave me an underwhelming response to that video.
no, it's great. So I appreciate you for joining us. Is there anything else you want to share as a final thing for this audience and for the End of Slavery Summit? I appreciate you coming on. I think music, like I said, is underrated, and everything we talked about. I liked how we kind of brushed over every topic, a lot of things that are so important for people. And of course, there's a lot more. I encourage people to check it out and check out your video channel, Awaken Your Mind, and Holistic Logistics. You're also on like a lot of platforms, right?
Bright. Yeah, you got to spread yourself out, but not too thin, right? But
but is there anything else?
Do more podcasts and, you know, little walk and talk videos, not just music. Yeah, sure.
I dude, keep it up. Keep up what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing, and thank you you know, your support of my works and everybody else, and staying tuned in the community, getting involved. That is very important.
The only way we can truly ascend or become free is by making the darkness conscious, rising together as a collective consciousness, as one with the planet, and one with your soul as well. Actually, I read a draft of something, reading the wrong text, but keep the curiosity up. There's no arrival point in this lifetime. We are not going to be able to dismantle the dark grid works and the inverted geometrical and harmonic frequencies that are completely screwing up our DNA and life force energy, if you will. Keep compassion in your heart, and come check it out sometime. I got 100 mixes, over 150 hours of conscious vibes to jam on and learn from, and just being on that frequency and just those confirmations, they do help out, and they're there for those also kind of, it is a lonely journey out there. So, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad we could finally, you know, collaborate. I've wanted to reach out for a while, and because I'm very passionate about music myself, and if anyone else is passionate about music, I definitely recommend checking it out or just take a listen, maybe on a particular topic that you liked, maybe one that we talked about and that you're interested in. You want to listen to the lyrics and kind of explore some of these ideas, I would recommend it. So, Derek, thank you for joining us. Derek Bartolacelli.
Bartolacelli, yeah. Bartolacelli. So Italian, but I lived in France. Really ironic, right? But
yeah. Awaken Your Mind, Holistic Logistics. Check him out on all the platforms. Thank you very much for joining us. And if you want to see a lot more speakers and presentations just like this, go to nita.one/summit. nita.one/summit. This is the end of Slavery Summit. Thank you very much for watching. Take care.